Wow, what a special song. It's a great pleasure again to be here with you this evening and enjoyed our time this morning, reconnecting with so many of you who've had integral parts in our lives and meeting so many new faces. It's an encouragement to come back and see new faces, see how the Lord is working in lives right here at Temple Baptist. I want to thank Pastor for lunch. You know, during my sermon, I mentioned some of the things I like are Dr. Pepper and a juicy steak, and Pastor got me that this afternoon. I also like a Chevy Tahoe. You know, we'll just see what happens. No. I want to thank Pastor so much for the taking me out to lunch. It was a great time. It's possible right now my family are watching via live stream, if Holly and Zach were able to figure that out tonight. And I'd say, praise, hope they're doing well. Hope you kids are obeying your mother. If not, I will find out about it. And so, and if you're not obeying, then this message won't mean very much tonight. And so, sure love Family Month. Missions Month and Family Month are two favorites in our church and were my favorites when we were here at Temple. And tonight, I just want to speak briefly about this idea of preparing our children to be faithful to the Lord. It's one of the greatest tasks we have as parents. Now, I grew up in a large family. For those who know, I was the oldest of 11 kids. And I spent much of my time watching kids, being around little kids, babies, and babysitting. And, you know, being around babies and children, I was just very accustomed to this, and as I grew older, I foolishly thought, wow, you know, because of this experience, when I become a father, I'm going to be an expert parent. You know, I've seen it all, right? I've been around kids all my life. I know I'm going to be totally prepared to be a dad. Young people, let me let you in a little secret. As parents, none of us were properly prepared to be your parents. It's a scary subject, and in fact, most of us, if we were honest to our kids, probably that first time we held our children, we were scared to death. In fact, I remember the first time I held baby Ashley in my arms. There were two amazing sensations that came over me. The first was utter love for this little human being that I had never felt before. I was completely and utterly in love with her, and I would do anything to protect her and provide for her. It was an amazing sensation, but yet there was another one that was even more powerful, and that was utter fear. What do I do with this little baby? What do her mother and I do? I mean, she can't even talk. She can't walk. She can't do anything for herself. What is this going to be like being a parent? And now, next week, she will be 12 years old, and I still have many of those same questions. As she's growing up, and her brothers and sisters are growing up, I think about, wow, what do we need to do next to prepare her for the world that's coming? The world that's coming now is a lot different than when I was 12 years old. And there are a lot of things that are going to be coming at our kids that we have to help prepare them for, especially if they're going to be faithful to the Lord. But maybe I'm the only one that feels like that, but I doubt it. You know, in the Dominican Republic, in my church, the people are a lot more louder, so I might have to work on some amens tonight just to make sure that you're still with me tonight. But thankfully, as we would have some of these doubts as parents, and I believe they probably, as one of my friends told me, he said, no, the problems don't go away in your kids' lives, they just get bigger. And I think that's a reality. I'm sure those who have kids much older than ours would say the same thing, but the blessings also get bigger. And thankfully, as we had these questions, we had mentors like Pastor and Miss Susan, my parents, other people who had children older than ours that we could lean on. And they would say, don't worry, those are difficult questions. The good news is we know where to find the answers. And this evening, in the brief time we have, I just want to challenge you and challenge us as families to think about this most important task that we have today as parents in preparing our children to be faithful to the Lord. Because the truth is that if they are faithful to Him, He will take care of them far better than we could ever take care of them. But it's our job to make sure that they are pointed in the right direction to be faithful to Him. Proverbs 22:6, you don't have to turn there, we're going to be all over tonight, but a very familiar verse. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, the Bible says, he will not depart from it. Tonight, very briefly, we're going to look at three areas of preparation. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means. I only picked three tonight because we obviously got to get to eating some donuts, all right? That's obviously the top priority. No, I'm teasing. But three areas tonight that I believe as parents, we should focus on if we're trying to prepare our children to be faithful to him. The first area this evening I'd like to point your attention to is that we as parents need to teach them the way that they should go. It is our responsibility to teach our children the way, the direction they are to go. If you will, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 14. We'll be there briefly. Psalms 14, and I want you to see one of the ways that the Bible clearly directs us that people should not go. Psalms 14, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Verse 2, "The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all gone to altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." As parents, it's our job to direct our children in the way they should go, but sometimes the first step is to show them and identify a sinful path. There are sinful paths in our world. We live in a dark and dying and sinful world. Now, if your kids are anything like my kids, it doesn't take very long to remind them that they are active participants in the sinful world. Or in other words, they're dirty, rotten sinners, okay? It doesn't take very long to remind them. In fact, I think about that whenever I'm witnessing to someone. A lot of times we'll go to the parks. That's some of the times where people will sit around and very leisurely you can approach them and talk to the things of the Lord. And I'll sit down and as I'm sharing the gospel, one of the ways that I'll start is we'll start talking about, do you have kids? And then a lot of times they'll say, yes, I have kids. And I'll say, did you ever teach your kids to disobey? Did you ever teach your kids to lie, to cheat, to steal, to covet? And they always respond, no way. Why would I teach my kids that? I don't do that. And I say, exactly. We have that sinful nature in us. We need to teach our kids how to obey. It's natural for them to go the wrong direction. Jeremiah says in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? Those little babies, they look so innocent. You spend 20 minutes in the nursery, you understand how much innocence is there. They are born sinful creatures, just like we all are. And that's the reason we need to identify that sinful path, because the most important thing we can do with our children is make sure that they are saved. They have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. The glorious chapter in John 3, verse 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, the religious leader. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I mentioned this earlier this morning, but I can tell you with such vigor and desire to tell and encourage parents, please do not assume the salvation of your child. Talk to them about salvation. Talk to them about the time they made that commitment, what it means, and to revel in God's glory if they have confidence in that. Once again, not to make them doubt, but rather to examine their heart and to enjoy their salvation. There's nothing, there's more important to that. I've seen so many times where parents have assumed their children understood salvation, only to see them go a forward way. Identify the sinful path. But at the same time, as we're identifying that sinful path, we need to point them towards God's path. Toward God's path. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says, chapter 2, verse 13, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you," and notice the illustration he uses, "as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory." When it comes to the formation of our children, we should be very careful of the influences of this world. Most philosophies and most influences in this world are in complete contrast to God's world, God's word. But it's our job, as we identify the sinful paths, at the same time to direct them towards the positive and towards God's path. A lot of times it's easy to say, no, 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 we shouldn't do this. But at the same time, we need to be directing them towards God's path and the direction of their life that they should be on, the path that they should be on. We are to charge and encourage our kids to walk worthy of God who has called them into his kingdom. When I was young, I remember thinking my parents were very weird because they didn't let us listen to or watch the same things that my neighbors would watch or listen to, or oftentimes even the kids in church. But yet, at the same time, I understood something, young people. I understood that my parents loved me, and I trusted them. Even though I wanted to do those things, that they loved me, it was good for me. And I'm so thankful for the barriers they set up in my life. And I understand now, as I've met people who had parents who did the same, that that was a great blessing in their life. I remember talking to Jeremy when we first knew each other, and he giving the testimony that he and Pastor would play, I believe, downstairs in their house, hours of ping pong, because he didn't have people who wanted to do right. He didn't have neighbors and friends who wanted to do right. And yet Pastor Miss Pittman wanted Jeremy to know that we will spend time with you, but we're not going to let you go on that rowward path. We're not going to let you go on that sinful path. We want you to go on God's path. I can tell you, kids, it's not easy. It's not easy standing up for right. But in the long run, what a blessing. You're going to avoid so many pitfalls in life. It's important to know that having a good testimony for your family, that's a great thing. But having a good testimony for the Lord, that's essential for every believer. It is what every believer should strive to have, is a good testimony, always staying on God's path. And parents, let me say this. You should share your past experiences. Recently, my son had a situation with unsaved neighbors where some unfortunate things happened with gestures, and they didn't know any better. They're sinful little kids. And I had explained to my son how he needed to stand up. And he had an influence in their lives and how he needed to do right. But I used an illustration from my life. I remember standing up at a time when I had to stand up and say, this is wrong, I can't be a part of this. It's important that we explain that to our children, that it's not easy, but it's worth it to have convictions, to stand up for the Lord. As parents, our roles are to be like tour guides. I don't know how many of you ever maybe gone and visited another city, or maybe even downtown D.C., places like that, other countries. And you get a tour guide. And what does a tour guide do for you ultimately? Well, the tour guide helps you avoid the bad areas and the bad neighborhoods and directs you to the beautiful places. As parents, we are tour guides for our children. We're to help them avoid the bad areas so they don't fall into problems. And we are to help direct them towards the beautiful places. It takes time, though. It takes time, as we mentioned this morning, to see children who love the Lord, who are prepared to be faithful to Him. It's not something we can just farm out to the Christian school or to the youth pastor. Oh, those are wonderful tools that help us reinforce what we're teaching, but it starts at home. It starts with identifying those sinful paths and directing them toward God's path. But let me say, it's worth it. The reward, having faithful children that love the Lord, is a reward without measure. Amen. So the first area is teaching them in the direction that they should go. The second area is teaching them how they can use their spiritual gifts. And as I wrote this, boy, this just played out perfectly this morning, seeing these young people this evening using their talents and abilities for the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Once our children have received Christ as their Savior, they are endowed with at least one, if not more, spiritual gifts. And it's our responsibility to help them identify and develop and use those spiritual gifts. Peter, through the inspiration of God here, clearly indicates the purpose of those spiritual gifts. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. That word minister is diakono. That's the same word we use for deacon. And so, young people, you are to find out what your gifts are, and you're to use them to serve like a deacon serves the local body, the local church. You are to use your gifts to serve others. I do believe this is one of the areas sometimes we fail in our churches, is that we fail to recognize that young people who receive the Lord have spiritual gifts. And they right now can be using those spiritual gifts for the Lord. Not waiting until they get off to college, not waiting to become parents of their own, but right now, as young believers, learning what they are, identifying and developing and using those spiritual gifts. So maybe you're a young person tonight. You say, all right, Pastor, how can I use some of those gifts? Well, be available. Be available to serve your church in whatever way you can. Your youth pastor can help you. He's plugged in. He knows how to take the collective group of your gifts and plug them in the right places so that God receives the glory. It's often been said, you know what the best ability is? Who knows the answer to that? What's the best ability there can be found? Availability. Availability. Oh, I've known lots of people who are very talented, but they were never available to use their talents. What good are the talents if you're not available to use them for the Lord? Other ways are using your natural gifts. We had that on display this morning, this evening. Using those natural gifts the Lord has given you, maybe using a musical instrument or singing, those lift up people's spirits in the presence of God. And they're vitally important. How important is, I'm driving along and there's a difficult situation, one of the best things I can do is turn on some godly music to just calm my soul. It's wonderful when young people can use their talents and abilities to serve the Lord. Another area I think young people maybe are not encouraged enough to use their talents and abilities is in their influence. Young people, you probably don't understand this, but there are people in your lives, other young people, who will listen to you. They'll never listen to their parents. A lot of times they won't listen to preachers or their youth pastor, but they'll listen to you, a peer. Use that godly influence to, it may be in the area of evangelism or simply in the area of edification, but use your talents and abilities to invest in the lives of other young people. Our kids are pretty outgoing kids. Some might say they're loudmouths, but they're outgoing kids, all right? They get that from their father. And but one of the things we love to take them with us is when sometimes we're meeting with another couple that have kids who are younger that we know, pretty sure, if we're trying to talk about spiritual things, those kids are going to be in the mix bothering their mom and dad. And we bring our kids along. We say, listen, your job is to use your friendliness to keep these kids out of the way. Play games, do whatever you can. And I'm thinking of multiple occasions, but one night specifically, where they took these kids, and in Dominican, the power goes in and out. And the power went out, it was dark, it was dusk, and they were off to the side playing. And we gloriously, Holly and I both had the chance to lead this couple to the Lord. And I remember driving home and singing and being excited with our kids and saying, listen guys, you were just as much a part of that as we were. Because you used your talents and abilities so we could have a distraction-free conversation. I've said this time and again, but all this takes time. All this takes time analyzing who your kids are, what their spiritual gifts are. Now, I'm saying this from a position that I haven't figured all this out, but I know that it takes time to spend time with your kids, to see who they are. I don't know how you are, but all four of my kids are different. Not single one of them are the same, and I praise the Lord for that. We pray every day what the Lord's going to allow them to do in the future, but we're praying about what they can do right now. I'm very thankful my son Zach and Tyler both get to play on a baseball team. It's encouraging how their coach, who's also a Christian, a lot of times at the end of the practice, will ask Zach to end the practice in prayer. And it's always neat how the little boys, even some big boys, look at him like, wow, he's going to pray? And he prays a nice little prayer, and he's concerned about seeing them saved. We're trying to develop in their hearts at a young age that you don't have to wait to be older to serve God. Start right now. Use your talents and your gifts and abilities to serve others. And parents, when your children can get a hold of this at a young age, it will transform their lives. They will open up doors and they will think, wow, what else can I do for the Lord? Lastly, the third area, if we want to see our children be prepared to be faithful, and probably is the most important, is we need to teach them to be rooted in his word. Lastly, if you would turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll finish there. Like I said, this is not an exhaustive list. I'm certain in moments' time we could come up with many more areas, but we're just going to focus on these three. But I do believe this last one is probably the most essential to all areas that we teach our children, and that is being rooted in God's word. In Colossians 2, verse 6, the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what does it say next? So walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. In verse 6 here we see, in verse 7, to be rooted up, to be rooted in Christ, requires a daily walk with the Lord. As parents, there is nothing more important that we can teach our young people than a daily, consistent walk with the Lord. Nothing can replace consistency in his word. Paul encourages the believers right here. He says, walk ye in him. Walk in Christ. And he explains us how we can do that. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. And notice this other phrase, as ye have been what? What's the word there? Taught. As you've been taught. Our faith wasn't inherited. Our faith wasn't something that was given to us by our parents in the sense that we receive this without effort. No, this is done through faith, but it is taught to us. It is a task as parents we must give to the next generation. It's to teach them how to daily walk in the Lord. Let me say, there's nothing flashy about a daily walk in the Lord. There's nothing flashy that the world says, oh, that's awesome, that's something you should do. Yet, there's nothing more important as parents than teaching our children how to come to him daily in his word, reading, meditating, memorizing his word, time of prayer, every single day. There's nothing more important that we can teach our kids than by our example, being God's word and encouraging them to do the same. I can say that all of my spiritual struggles can pretty much be attributed to any failure I have in my daily walk. Let you know a little secret, even missionaries struggle sometimes in their daily walk. Sometimes we can have so many good things to do that we've put the best to the side. And I know we all understand that. We all have busy lives. But spending time in this word and encouraging our children to do the same is the most important thing. It will change their lives completely and utterly. Notice in verse 7, Colossians 7, the second part, notice he has this other phrase that just kind of sits in there. But it's so important to teach to our kids. Abounding therein with, what's the next word? What's the next word? Thanksgiving. Teach them to have a godly walk, a walk with the Lord, living with a thankful heart. Boy, we need that today. Holly and I have so much to be thankful for. First and foremost, our salvation, each other, our family's good health, a wonderful home church, churches that support us, laborers on the mission field. But you know what? If we're not careful, sometimes we'll spend our time thinking about what we don't have, what we need, instead of what we have, what he's given us. Parents, one of the best attributes you can teach your kids is to have a thankful heart. Not just to be content with what they have, but to be thankful, a thankful spirit. Not just content with God's provision, but to say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Are you a grateful person? Are you grateful for what the Lord has done in your life? Do your kids hear you thanking the Lord for your family, for your church, for your job, for your house? Or do they hear you spend most of your time complaining about what you don't have? I'll be the first to say, I am sure I've done this. But we need to work on that. We need to send them in the right direction, helping them avoid the bad direction. Help them use their talents and abilities for the Lord. But to start right here, being rooted up in God's word. I know we've only scratched the surface tonight of a few ways in which we can prepare our children to be faithful to the Lord. However, if we apply these truths to our lives, I know we will see children on God's path, using their gifts for his glory, living out their daily walk in him, rooted in his word. Tonight, I know these weren't necessarily new truths, but truths that hopefully will encourage our heart. As we're driving home with our kids tonight, think about ways you can say, how do you think you can serve the Lord? Or remind me of the time that you asked Jesus to become your Savior. What does that mean to you today? Or maybe, how do you think God might use you one day and his kingdom. It's the best job in the world is being a parent. I love being a husband, and that's obviously, I should take that back. That's my favorite job. Let me rewind there. That's my favorite job. But being a parent, that's close second. I love my kids. I'm so thankful for those blessings. And more than anything, I want to see them serving and loving the Lord. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the richness of your word and the guidance that it gives us. And yet, Lord, we know so many times there are things in the world we don't understand, but yet these principles we do understand, but often fail to accomplish and follow through. Lord, help us as families tonight to seek to prepare our children to be faithful to you so that we can be proud in a spiritual sense and see your blessing on their lives. Lord, help us first be that example, not only in word, but in deed, so they would follow our example. As we love Christ, they would follow us so that they also would experience those blessings. And you give us the strength as families to make the decisions we need to make to follow your word. Yes.
Father, tonight I pray that you would touch our hearts, Lord, as we look at these three simple truths, yet, Father, fundamental truths. Lord, if there's some parents tonight that need to change some things in their own life, that they could be on their knees and say, Lord, help my children to be like me. Lord, help them to follow my footsteps, as Paul said to us. Lord, help us to be the kind of parent, the kind of Christian we ought to be. And not just to say, Lord, do what's right while I do something else. Lord, give us parents that have a desire to put you first, to be the right example. And then, Lord, give us children that want to do what's right. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to teach them, to show them. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.